morning. You know, pray with me this morning. God, we come to you this morning as we come into your word, as we read about the first church and their habit of giving. God, we pray that we grow to love our church more, and we show that through our sacrifices, through our giving to others in need. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome to week four of I Love My Church. We've had a good series so far. I think a lot of people have had some good times in classes. We've learned a lot, and I hope that you've enjoyed it. I hope that you have been growing to love your church more and more over the last few weeks as we see what God's plan is for the church as we look through this the last month or so. Last week, Chad taught us about serving, that one of the ways that we love our church, that we show that we love our church, is through serving our church. He dug in and really explained a lot about spiritual gifts. We had a little workshop last week that talked about spiritual gifts. Chad will be back next week to help us close out the series. But this morning, we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 4. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 4, some verses will be up on the screen. Most verses will, but if you want to have your Bibles open and kind of flip around there, read some of that context, that would be great too. But as we look into Acts chapter 4, we're going to discover how we can love our church through the act of giving. How we can love our church through giving. We're going to talk about what it means to sacrificially give. We're going to talk about what it means to make sure that nobody in the church goes without, that goes without their needs being met. The example of the early church in Acts chapter 4, as we're going to read, is that when we pull our resources together, other people's needs are met. Last August, we showed a testimony video of a couple friends of mine, Logan and Caitlin Owens. And right here, yeah, I was looking for them. They're sitting right here. And I asked Caitlin, I said, can I share the story that you shared in this video? Because I really think the story illustrates what it means when the church shows what love is through meeting needs. So watch this clip.
I'm Caitlin Owens.
I'm Logan Owens.
I started attending a church when I was a small girl with my family. And never really understood what was going on. I just knew that I was going with my friends to have fun and play at the playground and learn about Noah's Ark. It was a lot of fun for me. Our family started to break apart, and we went through a lot of really difficult times. We moved around a lot, and my mom became a single parent with three young girls. We struggled, and I remember going to school with no shoes and always being hungry because we didn't have food in the house. It was really embarrassing, and it was really hard. One of my friends reached out to me and asked me to come to Sunday school with him. And I was excited, one, because I had a friend, and you know, Sunday school, church was always something that I had fun with. When I got there, the Sunday school teacher had cookies, and I asked if I could take some home to my sister because she was also hungry. And that very next day, church elders were at our house with food and money. And to me, that was the first real eye-opener to what a church does and what being a Christian means. It's looking out for others and loving everyone and making sure that everyone is taken care of.
I think that's a beautiful picture of what the church should be. That when we see needs, that we meet the needs. If you want to read with me in Acts chapter 4, we're going to start with verse 32. It says, all the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own. So they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. There were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. When it came to possessions, the first church knew how to help one another. The first church knew how to love one another. And I sometimes wonder how long it took for someone to decide that they needed to try to hang on to their stuff, that they needed to hang on to what they have. Have you ever been to the beach and seen people feeding seagulls? And they're loud. They're really loud. Finding Nemo, you've seen Finding Nemo, right? They captured this perfectly with those seagulls as they get into a group and during the feeding time, and they're calling out on top of each other, mine, mine, mine. There's a clip of this as well. I want you to kind of see this.
You rats with wings.
The bloke's been looking for his boy Nemo.
Nemo?
He was taken off the reef by divers and this...
There, take it, Miss Barbie! Hey, say that again. You just said something about Nemo. What was it?
I just wonder if, you know, when we start holding tightly to our own bank accounts, when we start holding tightly onto our own possessions, the things that belong to me, just like in this clip, I wonder if to God, if we sound like that, mine, it's mine, you know, nobody, this is mine. When we start talking about our money, when we start talking about our stuff, is that what we sound like? Do we sound like a bunch of seagulls? Mine, you know? This morning, I want us to take a closer look at Acts chapter 4. And I want us to learn from the early church's example of what it meant to really love each other by giving and by meeting needs of each other. So first of all, I wanted you to know a couple things before we get started. And that is that we will take up an offering today, just like we do every Sunday. But this sermon is not to guilt you or to obligate you to give or to give more than you usually do. That's not what this sermon is about. This sermon, in fact, it's not a sermon about tithing at all. So you can relax. You can rest easy a little bit. It's not about tithing. Instead, this is a sermon about what it means to love each other and how we can do that through the resources that God has given to each of us. It's not about tithing. It's about what we can do together. So in your outline, if you want to follow along with me, what we're going to do is we read through Acts chapter 4. We're going to see kind of a three-step process that we can use to love our church by giving. A three-step process we can use to love our church by giving. The first step to loving our church by giving is to, number one, release your grip. To release your grip. Acts 4:32, it says, all the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was what? Not theirs. The first church had such a loose grip on their stuff. And in case you're quick to say, well, they didn't have a lot of stuff, so it's easier to be, you know, loose with that. But I would argue it's not about how much stuff you have. It's about how tight the grip is. And so as we go through this morning, we have no excuse for being seagulls. Whether we have a lot or we have little, it's about how tight the grip is. We have no excuse for that. Because the truth is, it's not ours. It's not ours. It never was ours. It's always been God. From the food in your pantry to the cars in your driveway, it's not ours. And you know what? I've seen those two examples played out in this church. Here's what I mean by that. A year ago or so, Sarah and I, we stopped by the Brooks' house. Is Randy and Karen here? Didn't see him. I don't think so. We stopped by the Brooks' house, and really the reason we stopped by the Brooks' house is because anytime our kids get a chance to play with Sophia, they jump on it. And so we went by the Brooks' house. And here's what you need to understand is when we go into your house, I apologize in advance, or I apologize for past instances, but when we go into your house, my kids, although they may seem shy, they're not so shy about asking you for food. Okay? They're not that shy. Isaiah's kind of the ringleader. And he will just kind of help himself to the pantry, look around, see what you got, open the fridge. And it doesn't matter how many times we get on to them. You know, they just disagree with us. You know, they want to go check it out. As we're at the Brooks' house about a year ago, we're in the living room just kind of talking and playing with Sophia and talking in there. And here come the boys out of the kitchen with Randy, and they all have food hanging out of their mouth. And I got on to them again for invading another person's kitchen. And Randy stopped me, and he corrected me, and he said, "It's not mine. Anything in this house, you're welcome to, because it's not mine anyway. It's all God's." And he kind of corrected me there. I thought, well, how do I argue with that? Now the boys, you know. But so I let them have their snack, and we moved on. But another example. So from the food in your pantry, but another example that I've seen here at this church was in our small group when a single mom had some car trouble, didn't have anything to drive, and another couple in our small group, they said, you know what, we have a car in our driveway, not being used. We're going to sell it, but you know what? You use it for a while. From the food in your pantry to the cars in your driveway, nothing belongs to us. Nothing belongs to us. It's not ours. It never was. It belongs to God. We act as the bank, and God invests with us, and he's hoping for a good return. And the way he measures that good return is how we love others with the things that he's given us. Release your grip, because it's not ours. It's not ours. And this is a hard sermon for me to hear as much as it is for you, but this is not a message, it's not a simple message of just give to the church. It'd be so easy just to say, give to the church, bring your offerings, and we'll distribute as we see fit and all that stuff. That would be so much easier to say. But the truth is, the first church didn't just bring their offerings to the corporate entity called the church. I believe that's a biblical act of worship to tithe as we pass the plates later. That's a biblical act of worship. But the first church didn't just limit their worship to tithing alone. They loved by sharing everything they had to everyone who needed it around them, by giving to the personal church, the people. And though the apostles were in charge of distributing it and they laid it at the apostles' feet and the apostles kind of saw where the needs were, I don't think that they focused so much on maintaining lawns and buying curriculum. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with maintaining lawns and buying curriculum, but the fault is when we fail to meet the needs of people because of maintaining lawns and buying curriculum. So we've got to release our grip on our things, and we got to release our grip on our money, on our bank accounts. We've got to release our grip and understand that it's not ours. And then when we do that, we can move on to the second step, release our grip and then tighten your belt. Making room within our budgets, making room within your budgets to help other people. That's exactly what the first church did. If we read in verses 34 and 35, where it says, there were no needy people among them because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. The first church wasn't storing up for a rainy day in case something happened down the road. They weren't kind of saving it up as they went along a retirement plan. They weren't even hanging on to their own property. They were liquidating everything as they saw fit, as they needed in order to meet needs. They were getting rid of it all so they could demonstrate their love for their church. Now, I'm not suggesting that you go home and sell everything and then we all move into the FLC together. That's not what I'm saying, okay? We would get on each other's nerves pretty quickly, I'm sure. You wouldn't love your church so much anymore, but I'm suggesting that if our lifestyles, myself included, if our lifestyles are getting in the way of us being generous with people, then it's time to tighten our belt a little bit. It's time to tighten our belts just as those in the early church were doing. Maybe I need a less expensive vehicle. Some of you are thinking, I can't get less expensive than what I have, but maybe we need a less expensive vehicle. Maybe it's time to cut the cord, you know, get rid of cable or whatever it is. And I'm not trying to guilt you to say those things are bad at all. I'm just saying, if our lifestyle is getting in the way of being generous, then maybe it's time that we tighten our belts. If you remember a couple years ago, Andy Avery came to our church. Andy Avery was the guy who played with Journey for a while, and he came to our church, did a concert, and he preached one Sunday morning. He was preaching the sermon, and Andy, he was kind of all over the place, if you remember him. He's kind of a little, maybe a little ADD, he says. So I don't remember every, say it again. Maybe a lot ADD. So I don't remember really the whole goal of his sermon, but I remember what he said. He was talking, he said that when he and his wife budget out for the month, that he will set aside a certain amount of money so that whenever he sees someone at the gas station or whenever he sees a need, he's able to meet that need. And I think he said he's so weak that he just gives it all to the first person. And that way it's done for the month. But that's maybe what we need to do, that we need to tighten our belts, budget it out, so that we can meet the needs of people in our church when we see them come up. So we can help out that single mom whose car broke down, so we can help that family whose dad just lost his job, might lose their home, so we can help that retired person who can't afford all their prescriptions, so they have to choose which ones they're going to have this month. You know, I'm not just talking about the people who are homeless and in our community, and I'm not talking about just the food pantries and all that stuff. We need to communicate to them and love them and show God's love to them, but the way that we communicate our love for our church is by making sure that nobody here is going without. Is that we're meeting the needs of the people in this building. And how tough is this to say that we cannot do that, it's impossible to do that if we don't know those needs. And I'm not saying that it's your job always to tell me what those needs are, because as I spoke a couple weeks ago, if we're out from behind our fences a little bit, or if we're in each other's backyards, we're seeing those needs. We're seeing those needs. We have to know our church, the people within our church. And then it's our responsibility to recognize those needs, to look past the fence that we've all built up, and to help each other, to give to each other. And don't take this lightly, because when we finally are able to peer past our fence and we're finally able to see the needs, you have to be ready to act on what you see, because we've already tightened our belts. And once we've loosened our grips, and when we've tightened our belts, then we can move on to number three, and that is give it all away. We've loosened our grip, we've tightened our belt, we can give it away. Because you see, when the first century church ditched its mind mentality, nobody had need. No one ever had need. Needs were always met, so eagerly met that verses 33 and 34 tell us the apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. There were no needy people among them. Did you catch the result of their generosity? The result of their generosity was that the apostles were able to testify powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. People heard the truth about Jesus Christ because the apostles in the first century church were so busy giving their stuff away, meeting the needs of people, and giving away their possessions. It wasn't just a service project. It wasn't just a homeless shelter. It wasn't a missions program. It was each other. It was one another. The testimony of the resurrection of Jesus was present because they were loving on each other. And they were loving their church. And this might seem awkward to be talking about this, because the passage seems awkward because we've spent centuries trying to get outside the four walls of this church, right? Trying to make an impact on the community around us and meet those needs and all that stuff. But we need to do that. We need to become more than just some holy huddle or some spiritual country club or stuff like that. But what this is really illustrating is simply that in our passion and in our enthusiasm to get outside the four walls of this church, we can never forget to reach within the walls of this church. We can never forget the needs that are within, because we have needs represented in this room right now that maybe none of us know about. Maybe we don't know about. We've got to be loving our church, the people in this room, so much that we see those needs, that we understand where those needs are. And then, like the first church, we've got to be willing to sacrifice a little bit in order to meet those needs. So let's do something courageous. Let's do something maybe a little bit crazy this week, today. I want to challenge each and every one of you, myself included. As I've been talking about the needs of others in this room, in this congregation, as I've been talking about those needs, who came to mind? Who came to mind? What was their need? What's their need? What is it that they need? I want to challenge everyone here this morning, this week, today, to meet some needs. I want to challenge you to do that. I want you to find a need in this church. And I'm talking more than, you know, picking up someone's lunch tab today. And you know what? That's happened to me a few times, and thank you. That's awesome. Because it gets expensive feeding my family. But I'm talking about more than that. I'm talking about needs. I'm talking about monetary needs, grocery needs, household needs. Seek out the needs of your church, each other. Seek out the needs of your church and meet them. Maybe the needs you find are a bit too much for you to cover on your own. But I'm willing to guess that any needs that are within this room right now can be met with the resources in this room right now. Any needs in this room can be met. So team up. Find another family to sacrifice with you, to give sacrificially, to meet the needs of other people, to show love for your church. Church meaning the people, not the building. Show your love for your church by meeting the needs, because one of the ways we communicate love to one another is through generosity. But another way is through honesty. So here's another challenge for you. If you're sitting there this morning and you're saying, I can't meet other people's needs because I have a need. Maybe we don't know that need. Maybe we need to be in your backyard a little bit more. Maybe you need to be in ours a little bit more too. But if we don't know of your need, and you're comfortable with us knowing what that need is as we pass the offering here in a little bit, would you place in the connection card in there on the comments, just write what that need is. Let us show you some love. Let us love you as the first church loved each other, and let us help meet those needs. I'm going to close here this morning and invite Roger back up, but I want to tell you something I read from Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill, you know who he was, from the United Kingdom, political, military guy, you know, spent 50 years serving and making the world around him just a better place. But I read this quote, and it really fit what I'm talking about here this morning. It says this. He said, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. And to me, that sounded an awful lot like what Hebrews 13 says, where it says, and don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. Will you take me up on that challenge this morning? Will you give generously to meet the needs of this church? Will you be honest with us? Will you invite us into your backyard a little bit and let us know what your needs are so that we can meet your needs this morning? I pray that you do, that you take me up on those challenges this week. God, we just give this challenge to you, that you would convict us, that you would move us to do something big, to do something great for you. And the way we do it, great things for you, is by loving each other, by loving our church. And God, there is a world outside these walls that don't know you, and we'll talk about that next week. But God, we also have to understand that there's a world inside these walls that, as Roger said, are hurting. Maybe there's some spiritual needs. Maybe there's just some physical, monetary needs that need to be met. And we just pray that we can meet those needs, that we can be the church, not just this week, but that we can continuously love our church by being generous with what you've given to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.